Halachic midnight is the point at the darkest hour of the night, where the sun is 180 degrees opposite us on the earth. And the question is, what are we doing here 45 minutes before Halachic midnight? What are we waiting for? And the question is further compounded by, if we're doing it tonight, so why don't we do it tomorrow night and the next night also? The custom in most Jewish communities, Shalom, Shavuot Tov. The custom in most Jewish communities is that the first night of Slichos, we get up and we say Slichos at midnight on Motzai Shabbos, and then the remainder we say it right before Shachris. So what are we doing here so early? And then if we're here so early, why do we change going into the rest of the week? I'm sure that all of us have had an experience similar. 11 years ago, I was supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael for the summer. I did end up going, but the passport office was not as quick with returning my passport to me as I expected them to be, and consequently, pretty much a couple of days before I was supposed to leave, my passport was still in some federal building being processed. And of course, there's a procedure for dealing with those circumstances, and the procedure involves going through a lot of bureaucracy. And finally, we scheduled an appointment that I could go down to the building where they print the passports and have it printed on the spot. And because of what we heard about the possibility of bureaucratic delays, and it was an Erev Shabbos, so we was told that the best thing would be to get the earliest possible appointment, and not only that, but to come 1 or 2 hours early and wait outside the building until the building was unlocked so that you could get in time for the appointment. And so I did. I davened at the earliest minyan that I could find, which at that time it was summertime, so it was pretty early, 4 something. And then my chavrusa gave me a ride into Manhattan, and I got there an hour before the building opened up. And guess what? There were 30 people ahead of me online already. And by the time that the building opened, there were another 60 or 70 people online behind me. And why were they all waiting there an hour before the building opened? Because they wanted the moment, the first moment that was suitable for them to get in and try to get whatever they were trying to get from the bureaucracy. They wanted to be there that first moment. And I think that that's what we're doing here. That's what we're doing here tonight. We're that group of people who are waiting for the gates to open, for the doors to be unlocked. We're waiting for that first moment where the process of getting darker and darker reverses and switches to becoming a process of getting lighter and lighter. That first moment after midnight, when we're moving towards dawn and we're moving towards daylight, that's the first moment. It's an Eis Ratzon. It's a time when our tefillos are going to be more accepted. And we want to be there first thing on the first night when that is going to happen, in order to demonstrate how desperately we need whatever it is that we need. The second night already, it's a different story, but we want to be there at the first moment. We're waiting already earlier before the gates open in order to take advantage of that opportunity. So what is it that we're waiting for that first moment to take advantage of, to ask for? So there seem to be 3 basic themes for the Slichos that we're going to be saying tonight, and pretty much for all of the Slichos. And I want to read some of those themes inside very briefly, just so that they're familiar to us when we are actually reading them in the shul. Just a short word about how the Slichos work. So the Slichos very much are based on Psukim. They're based on verses from the 24 books of the written Torah. And very often the slichos are preceded by the verses upon which they're based. And so we end up reading first the verses and then the poetic elaborations which are based on the verses. And the three themes seem to be the following. The first one is to acknowledge our shortcomings. Slichos are full of acknowledgments of where we've gone wrong, not only over the days of the past year, but also over all of the years and over all the generations that we have been in exile. And an example of that here we have on page 30 in the last stanza. So this is part of the slicha which is recited responsibly, and it says Marom im smu pishei kehalecha. A pesha is a shortcoming, a pesha is a sin. If it's atzum, if it's strong, if our shortcomings, if our sins are strong, if they're heavy, still we pray nas hagvein meotzar hamuchan begvulecha, lift us up, support us from the otzar, from the treasure house which is prepared in your heavens. So that's just an example of one of the themes which appears in many other circumstances as well throughout the slichos, this idea im atzmu pishei kehalecha. We're acknowledging our shortcomings. That's the vidui process of tshuva. It's a process of confession, which is a necessary prerequisite for repentance. That's one of the three major themes of the slichos. A second major theme of the slichos is to remind Hashem of our suffering. And that serves a twofold purpose. The first purpose is to remind Hashem that His reputation rests on our shoulders, kaviyachol. That as long as we are suffering, so Hashem's presence and His grandeur, His greatness, is not properly acknowledged by the nations of the world. On Rosh Hashanah, all of the tefillos are about that. We daven on Rosh Hashanah that everyone, kol yoshvei tevel, all the inhabitants of the world, should acknowledge how indebted we are to God, what a tremendous privilege and what a tremendous opportunity He has given us, and that all of our privileges and all of our opportunities are a result of His kindness. That's what we're praying for everyone to acknowledge on Rosh Hashanah. And part of what we're saying in Slichos leading up to that is, Hashem, look how short your goals for the world have fallen. And part of that is because your nation, which supports your reputation, is so persecuted and oppressed amongst all the nations of the world. The values that they support are values that are being trampled upon. That's the first purpose of reminding Hashem of our suffering. The second purpose of reminding Hashem of our suffering follows from the first theme of the Slichos. If we have shortcomings, if we've sinned over the year, over our lifetimes, over the generations of our ancestors, but look how much suffering we have experienced, surely that suffering has to an extent expiated the severity of our sins. And therefore, we're coming to plead and say, please grant us good things in the coming year. We're asking Hashem, pay attention to the fact that to a certain extent we've suffered, and therefore we should not be punished to the full extent for our sins. We find that, in particular, on the Slicha on page 14. And almost the entire Slicha is devoted to reminding us of the suffering, to reminding ourselves and reminding Hashem of the suffering that we've experienced. Here I have on the fourth line of the Slicha itself, towards the middle, Za'amta bishalanu beis mishkinos mivtachim. Za'am means anger. You've gotten angry on our account at the beis mishkinos mivtachim. Mivtach means security, support, the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, Mishkanos, the place of the dwelling of security, Charev Ufas Reach Nichochim, that the Reach, the Karbanos, which were meant to create something, some sort of a Reach Nichoach, a delicious smell for God, they've now been destroyed. And it continues here more explicitly. Kama Yisartanu, 2 lines down, 4 words from the end. Kama Yisartanu, how much have you caused us to suffer? Al Yidei Tzirim Ushluchim, through the hands of messengers. And again, one line beyond that. May Oz Ve'ad Atta, from then, from the day of the destruction, until now, Anu Nidachim, we're always pushed aside. We're pushed aside, we're like straw. Neheragim v'nishchatim v'nitbachim. And our lives are forfeit to those who have more power than us. So that's the second theme, the theme of suffering, which connects the first theme, the theme of our shortcomings, to the third theme, which is a request that Hashem give us a good year and good years in the future. And that's the third, which also appears in this slicha as well, 5 lines from the bottom, again 4 words from the end. Einenu chalos limtso revachim. Our eyes are almost at the end of their tether to find revach, to find space. Oppression is the lack of space, it's being stuffed tightly. And revach is wide spaces. That's what we're looking for, the opposite of oppression. We find that also. Here on page 20, for instance, 3 stanzas from the bottom. Tov likorecha, you who are good to those who call out to you, b'nefesh rahav, with wide open soul, tarcham niso, whatever their torach, however much they're a burden to you, carry them, support them, even if they're a little bit burdensome. Ulechalkel yahav, and give them kalkala, give them sustenance. Yikar chasticha, the precious, your precious kindness, alinu yur hav, should widen to us, should be given to us. Ya'an koli, answer my call, leha'azin be'ahav, and listen, like ha'azinu ha'shamayim v'adabera, be'ahav, which is be'ahava, with love. So those are the 3 themes of the poetic parts of the slichos. But the slichos are more than just these individual poetic units. There's a refrain which is repeated over and over and over again. And that's the refrain that's known colloquially as the 13 attributes of mercy, the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. But these Midos Harachamim perhaps are a little bit inaccurate named. If you count them up, you can find almost as many as 26, twice as many, and it's caused the Rishonim and the Achronim to spend a lot of time trying to delineate which 13 count and which of the remainder do not count. And through that discussion, a lot of light has been shed on the nature of what exactly it is that we're doing when we recite these 13 Midos HaRachamim. And I gave a shiur a few months ago, which took an hour, and it only got through some of the Midos, but I want to share with you some of the highlights. And I'm going to do it in 5 minutes, no less. Hashem, Hashem. What does Hashem, Hashem mean? So most of us are probably familiar with Rashi's comment that it means Hashem, who is merciful to people before they sin. Why do they need mercy before they sin? It's an interesting question. And he's also merciful to people after they sin. So does this count as 0 midos, as 1 midah, or as 2 midos? Is a three-way dispute. If it's 0 midos, I think it tells us something very beautiful about what's happening here. Hashem calls out to Avraham. He says, Vayomer, Avraham, Avraham, at the Akedah. Why? It's a loving thing to say. You call out someone's name twice. Avraham, Avraham. To Moshe, he also called out. Vayomer, Moshe, Moshe, Vayomer, Hineni. Moshe, Moshe. And so we, when we begin the 13 Midos of Rachamim, we're not invoking Hashem's Midos by saying Hashem, Hashem. Those that we count, the two of them together are not even on the list. We're calling out God's name in love. Hashem, Hashem. And then we begin with our plea, with our supplication to Hashem. That's according to the opinions, and neither of those two names of God are part of the list. What if they count together as a single midah? So then the interpretation is slightly different. The Maharal suggests that it means the following. That just like Hashem is merciful to those who have not yet sinned, He shows the same level of mercy to those who have already sinned and done teshuvah. There's no difference in His eyes between those who are totally clean and to those who dirtied themselves but then cleaned themselves again. It's the same Hashem. The Hashem who's merciful to us before we sin will show us the same level of mercy. He will not let the intervening period tarnish the relationship as long as we come back to Him. And so it's a single midah which is designed to compare the Hashem of before the sin to the Hashem of after the sin. And finally, if it's two midos, so what that tells us is that even people who have not sinned still need God's mercy. Because Hashem has such high expectations of us. He knows that we're capable of so much. We're capable of more than just sitting back and refraining from sin. We're capable of tikkun olam. We're capable of fixing the world. We're capable of reforming mankind. We're capable of so much. And do we meet our capabilities? The answer is unfortunately sometimes not. And so Hashem, even before we sin, He's still there for us. So that's if it's two midos. I think each of these three pshatim are incredible. I want to focus on one more midah and then say two words of conclusion. The other midah I want to focus on is the midah of v'nakei lo yinakeh. Now, we only say the v'nakei part. And then we stop. And the reason is because the way that we say the 13 midos, v'nakei is a midah of mercy. It means Hashem will free us. He'll free us from the burden of our guilt. But lo yinakeh means the exact opposite. It seems to mean that He does not free. So that's almost a contradiction. He frees, but does not free. So the way that we recite Slichos, it seems to mean some people He frees and others He doesn't. And so we want to invoke the Midah of Rachamim, the Midah of freeing people from their guilt, and not invoke the other Midah, the one where He doesn't free people. However, I think that Dad will appreciate this. Many Mefarshim interpret this a little bit differently. The Rambam says this, Maharal says this. It's all a single Midah, v'nakei lo yinakeh. Because when a person is graded pass-fail, then they either pass or they fail. There's no partial credit. And if we were graded pass-fail, it would be very frightening. We would either pass or chas v'shalom, we wouldn't. But v'nakei lo yinakeh says, God does not grade us pass-fail. God gives partial credit. Even when He's not v'nakeh, He still is v'nakeh. Whether it's because we did teshuva for some of our sins but not for others, or whether it's because He's going to give us only a partial punishment and hold the rest in abeyance, He does give partial credit, and that is a tremendous kindness for Him, that even at the time that He's not being v'nakeh, He's also being v'nakeh. The Maharal actually would say the extra words. He would say v'nakei, lo yinakei, and then he would go on even. He thought that pokeid avon avos al banim was also an attribute of mercy. We don't have time to go into that now. So I want to conclude with two remarks. The first one is, it's also the Maharal's insight. The Gemara tells us that the history of the 13 attributes of mercy was that when the Jews sinned with the eagle, with the golden calf, Moshe prayed for them, and Hashem said, I'm going to show you how to pray properly for the salvation of the Jewish nation. And then, says the Gemara, Hashem Kaviyachol dressed up as a chazan, as a shliach tzibur, and he recited the 13 midos for Moshe. Hashem didn't say, I'm going to tell you what to say. I'm going to show you what to say. I'm going to show you what to do. The slichos are not just a formula to be recited, they're an experience to be had. And when Hashem was showing something to Moshe, he wasn't just telling him, he wasn't just giving him an instruction manual, like the type that you get from India or from China that comes along with your computer or your electronic device. He was giving him a live demonstration, a demonstration not just telling him what to do, but showing him what the total experience should be. The total experience should be with the shliach tzibur, with the talis over his head, and it's an inspiring experience that brings the entirety of a person into the requests and the supplications and the entreaties and the protestations of love for Hashem that are part of the slichos. And if Hashem says to Moshe, if the slichos are performed the way that I've shown you, if they're recited the proper way, so then, says the Gemara, bris krusa, there is a covenant which is sealed between God and the nation of Israel, that anyone who recites the 13 midos of rachamim will never be returned away empty-handed. They'll always be answered. And so, after we finish our refreshments, may Hashem answer us and fulfill this covenant and this promise. May we all be inscribed swiftly in the Book of Life for a wonderful, happy, healthy, secure New Year. Amen.